That was good. Like I said, I don't know exactly all that God's going to do or what he may do. He may speak through somebody other than me, and that's okay. He may speak through me. He may speak. We may end up worshiping and maybe not even get a chance to the sermon if that's what God... Or, you know what, we don't know what's going to happen. But you know what we do need to know is that we can expect God to move, because I've been in churches many times where I've sat in churches even before I ever came to know the Lord, where I really didn't expect much from God. I didn't really expect anything to happen. And if I was to see something to happen, I would have thought, well, that's weird. I've got to get out of here. But see, when you go to church, when you come, it's like what the brother says. You need to expect to come face to face with God. And when we worship God, that's what we do. We come face to face. And we can expect a move of God. Now, I don't know, here we were praying just a minute ago, and I didn't exactly know what to say, because in one breath I wanted to say, I don't know what to expect is going to happen tonight. But then at the same time, I knew that I need to expect God to move, because he absolutely moves, and he actually appears to us in our heart. And who knows, at some time he might appear to your eyes. God can do what he wants to do. But regardless of what is going to happen, we should always expect that God's going to move. This morning we talked about expecting God to provide. How many of you need God's provision? We need God's provision, and we can expect God to provide. We looked in the book of Luke where he says, it's your Father's great pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. It's his great pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's not his pleasure that you would leave and go home and not see anything or expect anything from God, not know what God's going to do. We can expect God to move. We can expect God to move in our provision. And there's another thing that I want to tell you tonight, is we can expect God's mercy. We can expect his mercy.
Read this James.
No, I'm not reading you James. I'm going to read you what I've got down. Go with me, if you will, if you've got your Bible. Turn to the book of Psalms. And I want to read something to you. Psalm 103. In Psalms 103, the writer, it's David who writes, and David was a man after God's own heart, and he expected God to move in his life. Even though, you know, and see, this is really great, because we see David in here. This is really great. We see the mercy of God, because David committed some terrible things. He did some terrible sins. Some of the things that probably we would never even consider doing, or we wouldn't think of doing, but he did those things. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. David had done some absolutely terrible things. Yet God looks at David and he says, David, my son is the apple of my eye. He's the apple of my eye. Now that's mercy. That's God's mercy. And if God can show that kind of mercy to David, guess who else he could show that kind of mercy to? You and me. In Psalm 103, starting with the 8th verse, it says this. The Lord is merciful. He is gracious. He's slow to anger. He abounds. Not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger. Even when we walk away from God, even when we do things that are wrong in the sight of God, God still loves us, and he still extends his mercy. He says, my mercies are new every single morning. Isn't it good that his mercies are new every morning? Because I tell you what, we need them every morning. Because I try to go a day without sin, and sometimes I feel like, hey, I've done pretty good. I've gone a day without sin. Maybe I can go 2 days. But you know what? When I start to look and see what sin really is, that you don't go a day without sin, because it's in the flesh, and you fight with it all the time. But see, Jesus won the victory of that on the cross 2,000 years ago, and it's because of what he did that we no longer have to strive. We just have to believe, and we have to expect. We have to expect God's mercy. I see these beer commercials, Dos Equis. Seen those beer commercials of Dos Equis? Was it the guy who's the most interesting guy in the world? You know, he gets on there, "I'm the most interesting guy in the world." You know, and he can sit there and talk, you know, and in his wonderful accent. And he's, you know, now they've got a new guy who's doing it. And the old guy, well, yeah, he is pretty interesting. That older guy that was, they got the new guy here, and I think I can take him, okay? I think I can take that guy. I don't think he's all that interesting, but the first guy was most interesting guy in the world, you know. And we think that, you know, unless I become worthy, unless I become good, unless I become get all of my life together and everything's put together right and I've got it all down, God's not going to love me. He's not going to care about me. But the fact of the matter is, God knew you and everything that you were going to do wrong and everything that you're doing wrong tomorrow and whatever you're going to do wrong in 10 years from now, God knows it, and He still loves you. He still cares about you. He still died for you. His mercy is new every single morning. You can expect God to be merciful to you. You can expect God to love you. You can expect God to embrace you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done. I love the last song that we have done that talked about God's mercy. And you know what? We read that and we sing that and we talk about that. Do you know that? Is it here where you've received God's mercy? You can expect God's mercy. Here's another thing that you can expect. And I pray that in this, when we come to worship, when we come and do C3 worship, when we come and gather together, one of the things hopefully you'll always expect is that God will love you. God will love you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the things that I've committed in my life. No, I don't. I don't. But you don't know the things that I've done. And if He could love David, if He could love Paul, Paul was a stinker. He was interesting, but he was a sinner. He said, all the good things that I've done, everything that I think was really good and what made me the most interesting person in the world, what made me the good person that I was nothing but dung in the presence of God. His love was over me. Regardless of what I had or had never done, or what I have or am going to do, His love still is lavished upon me. Because I know that there's been times when we feel like God doesn't love us. No, He does. He says this, that His love was demonstrated. That not only does He love us, not only does He tell us that, He demonstrated His love by sending His only begotten Son, who died for us. He loves you. How many of you have been hurt by somebody? Has someone hurt you? I want you to know God loves you. God loves them too. Have any of you hurt somebody? God loves you. And you know, I heard that message all my life. And some of you, maybe you're in here right now and you're just hearing it again. Yeah, I've heard that all. You know, I had to hear it like a million times before it finally sunk in that God loved me. He may only like you, but He loves me. No, I'm just kidding. Because a lot of times that's what I do with other people. You know, I know that God loves you. I know God loves you. I know God loves you. I know God loves you all over here. I know God loves you. I know God loves you. I know God loves those two over there. But God can't love me. He can't. No, He does. You can expect God's love. And if you're expecting God, if He loves you, then why are we afraid so many times? Why do we worry all the time? If God loves you, why do you worry? See, that's why it says in the Bible that perfect love casts out all fear. When you come to the place, when you finally realize, and when I come to the place, when I finally realize that God loves me above everything, then I'll stop worrying about the things that I face on a day-to-day basis, on a week-to-week basis, and I'll start believing that God is actually going to meet my needs. simply because he loves me. This has happened to me several times, and I mentioned it this morning about my grandson Reed, who you know, sometimes I'll give him some money, and we'll play air hockey. Were you there this morning? No, but you were there when we were playing air hockey, weren't you? We go to the movies every once in a while, and I'll take my grandson Reed, and one of the things he loves to do is he loves to go see the movie, but he always hits me up for money for the air hockey machine, you know, because he got to play air hockey before he gets out, you know. And so there was one time I was with him, it was just me and him, and we go up and we're about ready to leave, you know, because a lot of times grandpa says, I ain't got no cash, sorry, you know, all I got is credit cards and the air hockey machine doesn't take it. Well, one time we were about ready to leave, and I took some money out of my pocket and said, here you go. And he goes, what's that for? Him, well, we're going to go play some air hockey. Let's go play some air hockey. And we go get to play air hockey. And my grandson Reed is going to be six, right? He's going to be six here in March, and he takes that dollar. Oh, let's go play some air hockey. And he goes over and plays it. And he goes, Grandpa, what'd you give me this for? And says, we play some air hockey. He said, did you give it to me because you love me? I said, absolutely. Only because I love you. I didn't tell him because I really don't like playing him air hockey. All right, it's not because I don't like air hockey. I like air hockey, but see, you're on a losing battle when you're playing a six-year-old in air hockey. Because if you win, you're a cad, and if you lose, you think, man, you got beat by a six-year-old, didn't you? So we go and we play air hockey, and he's, you did that because you love me. And he does that to me all the time. Tells me, you did that because you love me. I say, yes, I did. And see, God sometimes, he'll provide our needs, but sometimes he'll provide our wants simply because he loves you. Sometimes he'll give you something that you don't need, but it would be okay for you to have. He won't give you something you shouldn't have, and he won't give you something that's going to be bad for you. But sometimes he'll just give you something just because he loves you. And you can expect that from God. You can expect that. And this morning, I made it real clear that we don't expect God things from God with shaken fist. I expect you to give this to me. Let me tell you something. If my grandson said, you know, Grandpa, I expect a dollar for this game. If he'd do that to me, guess what? We would not be playing. But when you come to him humbly, as his child, and say, I love you, Grandpa. I love you, Father. Sometimes he'll just give it to you just because he loves you. You can expect that from him. I want to mention one more thing before we go back into worship. You can expect the miraculous from God. I want to go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. We go past these scriptures so fast, so many times. But in Mark 11, Jesus is with his disciples, and earlier in the day, he curses a fig tree. And nothing really happened to the tree at the time. You can tell because they don't notice anything happening till later on in the day. But they curse a fig tree. Then you see him go. He goes and he cleanses the temple. He goes to Jerusalem, cleanses the temple. And then they're going by that same way, and they come to it. And in Mark 11, I'm going to start with verse 20. It says, now in the morning that they passed by, they saw the fig tree, and it was dried up from the roots. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So now that shouldn't really be blowing their mind, because Jesus had done some other miracles up to this point. But Peter says, look, the fig tree that you cursed, man, it's dried up. Jesus answered and he said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For surely I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, everyone say to this mountain. Whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into a sea, and does not doubt in his or her heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, you believe that you receive them and you will have them. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a miracle. That there's times when we pray, we don't really expect God to answer, and we need to be expecting God to answer. There's times when we're looking for a miracle in our life, or we're looking at an impasse that doesn't want to move, and we need to expect God to be able to move that impasse as long as we'll trust in Him and believe in Him. God does miracles, and we can expect miracles to happen. There's some things in my life that I've still got on my prayer chart where I'm saying, God, I expect these miracles to take place because I know that you want them to happen. And we can expect that. Great expectations. I think one of the sad things about so many people that go to church is they don't expect anything from God. They don't expect anything to happen. They're thinking, well, hopefully someday I'll get to go to heaven, and that's all the expectation they have. If that was all we get, that would be enough, but it's not all we get. We can have Jesus today. We can have the Spirit moving in our life today. We can have God changing us today. And tomorrow, and the next day. And just walk around expecting God to do things. Simply because He loves us. He loves us. So many times I've failed to trust in God because I didn't expect Him to move. And so many times He surprises me because He'll move anyway. Just to show me that I can expect things from Him. I can expect His love. I can expect His mercy. I can expect His provision. I can expect the miraculous. I've had so many debates with individuals who want to question the Old Testament. Say, well, you know, that Noah and the Ark thing. You know, we've done studies, and we just don't see how that's possible. And I've talked with some professors that think, well, I don't see how in the world you could believe that. And I said, well, it's just a three-letter word, God. That's how. In and of itself, you're probably right. It's probably not physically possible for water to come crashing upon the earth and to flood the earth like that. It's probably not possible. You're probably right about that. But see, I serve a God who does the impossible. And with God, all things are possible. Can a whole human race come from two people not named Adam and Eve? Absolutely they can. How? God does it. How in the world can the walls of Jericho, that are so high, so large, so big, so great, no way you could penetrate them, yet you walk around them 7 days and all of a sudden they fall down? How's that possible? God. How is it possible someone could be swallowed by a big fish for 3 days and come out alive? God. How is it that someone can take the sins of a rotten human being like myself and cause me to be whiter than snow and cleaner than clean, being exposed to His mercy rather than His wrath? How is that possible? God. If you take nothing else from tonight, other than the wonderful worship that we've experienced already, take this. There's nothing God cannot do for you. There's nothing. And if He loves you enough to give up His only begotten Son, don't you think He loves you enough to care for you in every aspect of your life? Well, you better believe it. He'll do it just because He loves you. Just because you're His child. just because you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And he gives you even more than that. He says, not only that, I'm going to take you from where you're at and I'm going to make you like who I am. That you may walk as a son and a daughter in my house forever. That's, to me, that's not only worth dying for, that's worth living for. And that's what I want to do. I just want to take a few moments. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on forward. I'm not going to have a big altar call tonight. I mean, there may be times when we have altar calls. I just want to let the Holy Spirit move. By the way, thank you for turning on that light, because I could not see that Bible if that light wasn't on. I mean, even with these glasses, I need a magnifying glass. We just want to take a few moments. We really don't have a time limit, although I think, we were talking about maybe going to 8 o'clock, and we've got plenty of time. I just want to take some time, and we're just going to worship the Lord. And I just want you to pray for each other. Pray for each other. You don't have to lay, if you know the person that you're with and they don't mind, or you're welcome to lay your hands upon them and pray for them or pray with them. But let's just take a few moments and just worship him and pray and ask God to come in this place, begin to minister his life to us. There's no expectations on you. All expectations are on God. You don't have to do anything. Let God do everything. If you'd like to come up and kneel, you can. If you just want to sit where you're at, you can. If you just want to just take a few moments. And like our brother said just a little bit ago, let's just meet with God face to face. And you know what? I could sit and I could pray for you, or I can sit and I could read scripture over you, or I could, we could do a lot of things in here tonight. But really, the healing comes from meeting with God. It always does. Oftentimes I get the chance to go over and do some chaplain work over at the hospital. And I've had this said more than once by more than one person. You know what? It's God that does the healing. He always does the healing. And when you get the chance to meet with him face to face and get filled with his Spirit, there's where the healing happens. So let's just sing and worship the Lord. If you'd like prayer, you need prayer, I'll be up here. But that's not what we want to do tonight. You pray with one another right where you're at. And let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Like I said, as we sing, if you want to reach over to your neighbor and just clasp hands and pray with each other, that's great. Or if you want to lay hands on somebody's shoulder, pray with them, that's fine. Let's just spend time ministering to each other as the Lord ministers to us.